alive, alive, alive. My Jesus is alive. Praise God. Amen. You feel he's alive tonight? Praise God. I'm sitting there thinking and I'm praying to myself, Lord, come on us. As the former and the latter rain, all at once. Praise God. Let's sing this. Praise God. Then we're going to turn to the Word of God.
Alive, alive, alive.
Beside you, I know there's not many of us. Say there's an awful change in me. Go ahead, brother, say it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You believe it tonight?
Amen.
There's a big change. Thank God there's a big change. Praise God. Praise God. Our sister Jenny and her brother Ian's away till the week tonight. It's a relation of the family. What was the name, Brother Mark? Sylvia Martin. You know, I used to work with Sylvia Martin in the bakery. But she was a great Christian woman. And you know, there was a group of women, and I think it was through Sylvia that contacted me and Brother Yule. And they used to have a wee women's meeting. And I used to go and preach for them. You remember that, Brother Yule?
Yeah.
That's a brief time ago. And they had real good wee meetings. There was maybe about 10 or 12 of them. And they used to have a wee Bible study, and I'd go and preach for them, and we'd pray and everything. And all them women was quite an age then. And I'm sure some of them went on to be with the Lord, and their sisters gone on, and some's away the night. And then also pray for Brother Samuel. Wee Rachel's not too well. I texted him today. Keep praying for wee Chloe as well. And then this morning before we left, Annie Jones came back here. I was talking to Brother Ian, and she came in. Her brother had just rang her. Her brothers, David Hearn and his son, was involved in a massive accident at 3:30 last night. They were coming home from somewhere, and there was four of them in the car. And Lee, you call him, he's only 20 years old, young girl in the back, 17 years old. Her family's great brethren people, they're great people. And she was killed and young Lee's horrifically injured, head injuries, spinal injuries. The fella driving and the young fella in the front are both young men. I'm not sure which one of them, but I've heard one of them is dead as well. So we want to pray for them tonight. And also Sister Carl here has a friend that's had 10 heart attacks in a row, and she needs God's touch. But God's able. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's promise that it raises up a standard against it. And I believe when God's people get really desperate, God's going to do something big. I believe that with all my heart. And you know, Jack Cole said that he was praying and God showed him that the last day revival would be bigger than the first revival, anything he'd ever seen. And he says, Jack, you remember when you were small and you looked for the dippers in the sky? And he says, that wee dipper, the wee dipper in the sky, and then there's the big dipper. And he says, the revival that you're seeing now is the wee dipper compared to what the big dipper's going to be. I know a lot of people say the revival's happened and it's finished and it's over. But I believe God's never changed and God can still move.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that tonight or not?
Amen.
I believe God can do it. But we want to come and unite in faith tonight. There's so many needs. And pray for this young man, Lee Hearn. When I heard about it, I thought of wee Matthew. And when I saw him, they brought him back to life even before he got to the hospital. He had passed out or on. And they got a man, medical man at a house. They went to the house. The man just happened to be in the medical profession, and he performed whatever they do on a person in that condition. And when I saw him and the size of his head and everything, and when I went in, there was, I won't say it, but I know there was a witch there in the hospital when it came to certain people, and God showed me that. And I never prayed, no English. Everything was in an unknown language. When I finished praying, I knew God had done something. And the first man to ring me was Ian, and he said, how is he? And I said, all's going to be well. And he says, I believe it. And when he said that, that was it. And he's well today. God's able to do it. God is able to do it. But people forget what God has done. And the devil sometimes wants you to forget. That's why the Bible says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Tell your children's children the great things the Lord's done. Let's come and bow our heads this evening while we ask for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you've promised that you'll be a very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, you said if we call on to you, you'll show us great and mighty things that we know nothing about. Lord, tonight we come to you in the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know you own the cattle on a thousand hills and all the silver and gold's yours. And Father, we bring before you all these petitions this evening. Lord, we think of this wee family, of this wee girl. Lord, you know her name. I know it, but I don't want to say it. But Lord, you know her name. Pray you'll comfort them this evening, Lord Jesus. Pray you'll be with them. Strengthen them. 17 years old. Swept of the earth. Lord, for Lee Hearn, pray you'll grant mercy for that young man. Lord, that you'll preserve him. You'll heal him and raise him up. Lord, that he'll not die, but he'll live. Jesus Christ's name. And for the others, Lord, that you'll help at this time. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for this woman that her sister Carl's mentioned this evening. Lord, you made the heart. You're the great physician. I pray you'll strengthen her heart and heal her heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, whatever other needs there are here tonight, that you'll meet them. For the family that they wait tonight, you'll strengthen them and be with them. May they be able to rejoice over their dear sister's life, for the testimony she's left. Father, we pray for Samuel, you'll bless him and strengthen him and his wife. And for we, Joel and Rachel, you'll heal them and touch them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, this evening we need you to move amongst us. Lord, we need you to come down in the former rain and the latter rain all at once. How we need thy help and thy visitation. Lord, you promised us when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of Almighty God will raise a standard against them. Raise thy standard tonight. Help this preacher to bring your word forth. And grant us the faith to mix with the word. To see it in operation. Father, I ask it in Jesus' lovely name. I ask you to give me the help now I need, Lord. And I take the promised Holy Spirit again by faith. In Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you, undertake for me. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray as well for someone in this meeting tonight thinking of one near and dear to them. That's some trouble at this time. Lord, I pray you'll reach out to that man. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ you'll speak to them. Pray you'll deal with them. And I pray you'll change every single situation around them. And oh God, that they'll bring them to light, knowledge and truth. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Hebrews tonight. Praise God. And I want to continue on. Not really the same message as such, but the same thought. Hebrews 11 verse 1, it's the same scripture, and then Hebrews 4. And I was going to preach this morning, and then I felt to preach what I preached, but I want to preach tonight the word mixed with faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then if we could turn back to chapter 4 verse 1 to 2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Mm-hmm. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Remember, seated, we know that God will bless the reading of his own word. I believe you can have a great sermon, a great preacher, if there's such a thing. You know what I mean? And people can hear it, but if they don't mix the word they hear with faith, it won't work. We have to hear the word, and we have to mix it with faith. Faith without works is dead. We heard that this morning. But we must hear the word of God and we must mix it with faith. The word, and many people say, we've got the word. Yes, what have you got faith to believe the word? Have you got faith to operate the word you have? When T.L. Osborne went to one of William Branham's meetings, and saw the power of God working, and the voice went over him and said, you can do this as well. You cannot do the discernment. You're not called to that ministry. But you can do, preach the gospel, pray for the sick. You can do it as well. He believed it. And he was able to operate his portion, what he believed. Many others later claimed he never came in the message. Many others later claim he never saw the fullness of the word. Well, I'm not going to debate that either way tonight, and I'm not really interested. But the portion he had, he worked it.
Amen. Yes.
Not only did he work it, but he saw people healed and saved and delivered. Amen. By what he saw, what was demonstrated, yes. He mixed faith with the word and it worked.
Amen.
It's not just old word. The faith must be mixed with the word of God.
Amen.
Let me read you this from the Seed of Discrepancy message. And remember this sin that those people believed We're all the same. We worship the same God. Now, how many of you hear that all the day, don't we? We should all belong to the same church. We should be the same people. That sin was never forgiven Israel. Jesus said himself, they all are dead. They perished, all but three of them. That was the ones who held on and believed the promise. When the weaklings said, we cannot take the land and it's too much for us, and so forth, Caleb and Joshua stilled the people and said, we're more than able.
Amen.
To take it, because God promised it to us. I don't care what the opposition is. And we still can preach divine healing and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still have the power of God to separate us from the things of the world. God said so. The apostolic age has never ceased, and it will not cease, it goes on. That's what Brother Branham preached and said. And you know, the children of Israel, when they came back, they sent the spies into the land to see how it would be, and they came back with the grapes on their shoulders,
yes,
with a great report. But some of them said there was giants in the land, and we won't be able to go up and take it. And they murmured, and they complained, and they looked at the circumstances, and they didn't believe God. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're more than able to do it. Now you think of it, there was a multitude against it, but there was two people for it. And you know, when you read the story of the children of Israel, that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, when it should have been a journey of 40 days. And the Bible clearly says, because of unbelief. And time again, God miraculously showed his hand before them, and God done signs and God done wonders, and they didn't believe it. They complained and murmured. And you know, we're living in a day again. Can you imagine the ministry tonight that William Branham really had was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. There was nothing like it. It was like the Lord himself was on the earth. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. The ministry was so outstanding, and yet with all he says, the people will not even walk across the streets of Phoenix to see this.
Right. Amen.
It's so familiar to them, they think nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said a day will come when they will desire to see one of these days. Didn't Jesus say that at 12?
Yes.
And shall not see it. And I tell you today that people are filled with unbelief. And people are preaching, we're all the same. And they throw a net over everything. Muslims, Buddha, Muhammad, we're all the same, but we're not the same. There's a difference in us and them. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying the Christians, I'm talking about universally, you understand what I'm saying? There's good people in many other denominations. We know that. But we are not the same. I can't fellowship on the grounds that a Muslim fellowship or a Mohammed fellowship or even a Roman Catholic fellowship, because I am a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But we must believe the word of God and mix it with faith. When God's word says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, we have to believe it.
Yes, amen.
Don't doubt the word of God. Believe God's word. Not being mixed with faith. Or you could say, because they were not united by the faith of them that heard it. You could say that. We know that when we look back to Israel, and I've said it, there was two men, Joshua and Caleb. And then there was another outstanding man, and you know, and that wonderful the faith these men had, Joshua and Caleb.
Yes.
You can even look at Moses, and if you looked at Moses was the law, and Joshua was a type of grace. And Joshua took the people over. You know, William Branham said one time, he said, our Joshua is still here, referring it as to the Holy Ghost to take us over. It's not a man that's going to come, a normal man that's going to come to take us over. It's the Holy Spirit that does it.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is doing the work today in people that believe. We need the Holy Ghost more than ever. We need to be praying earnestly for the Holy Spirit to anoint us. We need to be waiting on God earnestly to be filled with the Holy Ghost, so that we are a group of people that God at any given moment can whisper into our ear or into our innermost being and give us a commandment to go here or yonder, and we are able to obey it because we're led by the Holy Spirit. Form of religion won't do it. Church formal won't do it. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost will do it. Even the gospel itself, which is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and 16 tells us that, altogether is fruitless to them that believe not. Somebody can hear the gospel preached correctly, but if they don't mix it with faith, it will do nothing. And there's only one way to get faith, and the Bible tells you how to get it, by hearing the word of God. Hearing somebody's idea will never produce faith. Hearing the doctor's report will never produce faith. Hearing somebody complain will never produce faith. But when you hear the word of God, it will produce faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. There must be a putting together, a mixing of the preached word of faith. Like the temper together, the boat together. In 1 Corinthians 12:24 it says, "For our comely parts have need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundance honor to that part which lacketh." A brother preached about it on Wednesday night, and it was great. In the least part, you don't say, "I don't need it." You need it. You need the least part. I believe that there's been a generation of people saying the word to word. Now don't misunderstand me tonight. They say we have the word, we have the word. And they went so far with saying we have the word, they have thrown out the gifts of the Spirit, which are part of the word. We have the word, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need the gifts that the word talks about. We need the power of God that the word talks about. We need a supernatural God behind us.
Amen. Yes.
The Bible is a supernatural book. All God's true servants, the supernatural follows them. The Bible tells you in Mark 16 that these signs shall follow them that believe. We don't go out to follow signs, but signs should follow us as believers. For because we are believers, signs should follow. We have a right to see it because God said it. Do you believe it tonight? Hallelujah. The word is very pertinent in the point in hand. It is a metaphor taken from a potion, which according to the ingredients put into it is medicine and health to the navel. The word of God is health to your navel. The word of God is strength to your bones. But you can hear something and let it go over you, or you can let it into you. How many knows what I'm saying? Here's an example. The Bible says, "Why Peter yet speak these words?" The Holy Ghost come on them. "Why Peter yet speak these words?" The Holy Ghost come upon them. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was baptized by the Holy Ghost. And while he yet spake these words, there was an aura of anointing come off of Peter and come on the people. I know that God sent it, but Peter was anointed of God. And while he yet spake. And we need to hear a word from God that as it's preached, it enters into us. And I believe this is a super way that God wants to bring us higher onto this level. That while the word is going forth, that people will be healed, that people will be delivered and set free by the word of God because of the anointing upon God's word. I believe with all my heart. And I believe we need to be praying and seeking God. And as I mentioned, when someone had shared with me and I mentioned it, I thought it was good that if we set ourselves a target in the morning to seek God, it's a good thing to do. Any of us that go to train in a gym or go to do a sport or a hobby, you have to have time to do it, and you enjoy doing it. And I believe if you set yourself to seek God, you will enjoy the presence of the Lord. I can testify tonight that when you close yourself away with the Lord, that it becomes wonderful and it becomes great, and you get into His presence, because remember that you're falling in love with someone that loved you so much He gave Himself for you.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's wonderful. And none of us do it enough to stay in the presence of the Lord. God has promised us that if we will humble ourselves and fast and pray, we will hear from heaven. God has promised it. I believe God's promise tonight. We must not mix it. The word preached must be mixed with faith, and then it becomes sweet and wholesome. But mixed with unbelief, it's bitter and deadly. Thus we see the gospel heard, if not believed, remains fruitless. As the brazen serpent was no use to them that never looked on it. The brazen serpent could be raised, and God told Moses, if you lift up the serpent and cause the people to look upon it, they shall be healed. But if it was raised up and they never looked, it wouldn't be healed. They had to look upon the brazen serpent. And we must look afresh at Calvary.
Amen.
For God bruised Jesus. Do you know that? For me and you. And we must look afresh at the cross. There's power, you know, in preaching the cross. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Amen.
To them that believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now it says it's foolishness to them that perish. So the preaching of the cross does two things. It's foolishness for them that perish, but unto us that believe, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross.
Amen.
Numbers 21 and 8 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh on it, shall live. Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Therefore this act of believing is still applied to the word, where the power of it is set forth. When you believe the word of God with all your heart, and you take faith in God's word, something automatically happens. Something works. Somebody else can hear it. But all they're doing it is hearing it, like hearing anything. There's no faith applied to it, therefore it doesn't work. But we want it to work. We want to have faith. Acts 15 and 7 says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto the men and brethren, know ye how that a good while ago God made choice amongst us, that the Gentiles from my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe.
Yes.
So God raised him up. God uses particular men. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can make too much of a man, but don't forget God uses particular men.
Right.
God doesn't just do it haphazard. God has a plan.
That's right.
And when God takes a particular man and puts an anointing upon that man, and you believe with that man's preaching, it'll work. Just like the apostle here says. And he raised up Peter to preach the gospel to them, and they must believe it. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the gospel is the power of God to them that believe. To those that don't believe, there's nothing to it. But when you believe, it is the power of God. The gospel. I remember going to a church in Sheffield, and at that time when I went, and I'd been preaching in several meetings in England a few years ago, and there was a family that had been out of church for some time and came, and two young men came, and I preached the gospel there that night, and I heard the two young men saying, "Did you feel the presence of God in the meeting tonight? The power of God was here." And the other said to them, "Because the gospel was preached." Isn't it? And I'm not saying anything about Sheffield or anything if anyone heard this, but all I'm saying is that you can be preaching something, but it won't be effective.
That's right.
But when you preach the word of God, the gospel, God has promised that His power will accompany it.
Amen.
That is a fact.
Amen.
That's the Bible way. One time there were several men went from the tabernacle, and they went and they preached on the great meetings. Your brother Tommy Hicks was one of them. And they preached to thousands of people, and they saw many saved. And then there was other times, and Brother Ormond Neville, when they came back, and they were all talking, Ormond Neville asked those men a question. He said, "Did you men preach the gospel?" And they said, "We did, brother." And many people could see it.
No.
But what has happened today, many would say, "He does not preach the message." And they differ the message from the gospel.
Yes,
but I want to tell you this evening, there's no such thing as a message that's not the gospel. And the message, the gospel is always the message.
Yes.
Let me say it like that.
Amen.
The gospel is always the message.
Yes.
And when you're preaching the gospel, you are preaching the message.
Yes,
and Brother Branham preached the gospel, and that was the message.
Yes, amen.
Now there's people can say they're preaching the message, and it might not be the gospel.
That's true.
But the gospel's always the message. And a man said to me, "You know, we don't go such a place no more. He doesn't go deep enough. Well, he doesn't preach enough about this and that." But I tell you, what will it be when we come before Jesus Christ? And he says, "My brother, did you go into all the world according to the commission you were given and preach the gospel to every creature?"
Yes.
And he'd say, "My prophet in 1965 stood in the service and he prayed a mass prayer and he said that God would raise up young men to sweep this message," and he meant the gospel, "on to the coming of the Lord."
Amen.
That's what he prayed. And I've already read your quotation tonight, but he said, "The baptism of the Holy Spirit, salvation and divine healing." That's the message. Now I know you can say other things about it, and they could be true, and I believe them. But I tell you, it's only God can bring the power of God down. The gospel will do it. Brother Branham preached Christ, didn't he?
Yes.
Every service he says, "I'm here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ."
That's the truth.
Says, "I greet you in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. And we saw the gospel demonstrated again in God's servant's ministry. We saw it. Somebody said, "If God never done it before," he had, but people forgot. And God done it again. Aren't you glad God done it again? John 14:12, "The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." Now I certainly believe that God has sent us an end time messenger, and I certainly believe that that message is to bring an absolute restoration of all things before the coming of the Lord, to turn us back to the original apostolic faith which the first church had. I believe that. But it won't turn us to something different. And what's in this word? It'll turn us to the Word of God. And when you listen, what God sent and what God said, it will stir your heart. and give you faith. Mm-hmm. When you hear the miracles and the things God done. Ephesians 1 and 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom I also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You heard the gospel of your salvation. There is no salvation in any other message other than the message of the gospel. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Amen. And when you believe the gospel and you receive salvation, you become a candidate for the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And then God can lead you on further into the things of God. I believe that Christianity, and I said to the dear sister today, I believe that Christianity is like the natural in the sense, it's like some of the trains, or that's gifted in a sport. They might not give themselves to it, well, they'll never go that far. Whatever you're into, you have to train for it. You have to give yourself to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whether it's lifting weights or running or cycling a bike, you have to put time in, hours in, of training and eating properly and sleeping properly, and all those things will make you better at what you're trying to be. Now, I'm not preaching works and salvation, but I am saying to you tonight that you can go as far with God as you desire and want to go as a Christian. And if you're the type of Christian that's happy enough just to be saved, and just that's just it, well then you can have that. But if you're the type of Christian that's like people that's out in the secular world, that they don't have a half measure, but when they go to the gym they really go, or when they go on a bike they really go 60 to 100 miles, whatever they put themselves into, they really go at it. And God's looking at them type of Christians. They'll put in 100% to it. That won't play about with the things of God, that they'll be really serious and sincere with God and pray through till they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the power of God saturates their being, and the power of God comes all over them. And I believe when the church gets back to the place, and I believe as a whole that the church of God's sleeping tonight, I believe that with my heart.
Amen.
And I believe we had a wake-up call in the 60s, but we need another wake-up call sent from God tonight. That will awaken God's people at this hour of sleepiness and drowsiness. And Revelation tells us of the state of this last day church. It calls it the leadership age. An age of I will do what I want. Lukewarmness and coldness. And God says it rather, you're hot or cold, or spew out of my mouth. That's the age we're living in today. Where people are not committed. They're committed to the sport. They're committed to jobs. People are so committed today and dedicated to the job. And they work all hours. Dedicated to the boss, dedicated to the job, but it's not many that's dedicated to the work of God. That's the day we're living in. But I tell you, young person in this meeting tonight, older person in this meeting tonight, hear this preacher tonight, God is looking for men and women that He can use in this last stretch. Men and women that will dedicate themselves to Jesus Christ. Men and women that we can go back into the book of Malachi and it says, oh, that know, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Yes, amen.
That's the people that God's looking today. God's looking for a people that's written in Malachi, they that love the Lord speak often of Him one to another. And a book of remembrance is written, and the Lord said, they shall be mine when I might make up of my jewels in that day, saith the Lord. Isn't it great when you meet someone that wants to talk about the Lord? I was away the other week and I was helping a fella doing a wee bit of painting. And there's a wee woman come back with her husband. Her sister's 74. And this other wee woman's older than her. And they're real Pentecostal people, old time people. And boy, she had a joy in her face. just something about her. And she says to me, "Brother, we need miracles back today and signs and wonders like it used to be." And they know that it's not happening today like it used to happen. And they said, "How we need it today." But she agreed. The Christians today are too wishy-washy. They're not. There's no commitment today like there used to be. There's so much going on in this world, and we get so caught up with the work and with the programs and with things in this life and with the cares of life that we take no time for God. But God wants us to redeem the time, because the days are evil. God wants us to seek His face and call upon the name of the Lord for a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God to come upon His people, for gifts of healing and miracles and signs and wonders to come back amongst God's people again like it used to be. God wants people to be hungry, and God wants people to be real serious. And I believe that God lets things happen to shake us and to move us, so that we begin to seek God like never before. So that we begin to call upon God like never before. I believe that's why sometimes it happens. And I tell you, I never seen a time like it of lukewarmness. And I tell you, it used to be there was no problem to get people to pray. You know, when we started these meetings in 1993-94, I used to have several brothers that meet with me every single service in the old schoolhouse in the back room, and people were complaining because the service was ready to start and we're still praying in the back, and you could hear them praying in the back. But that's all stopped today, isn't it? And I'm serious about it, and I'm not condemning anyone here tonight or saying anything to God, but how many knows that I'm telling the truth? And I'm telling you that there has to be an anointing on God's word to make it work. You can have a great sermon, you can have all your weak points and everything, and I know all about it, you can study and prepare and write it all out, and it looks lovely and it sounds good, but without the Spirit of God, it's dead.
Amen.
Spirit gives life to the word. And the Spirit answers to the blood. We must preach the word of God. We must preach the power of the blood of Jesus. And then we need the Holy Spirit to stamp on His own divine approval. With an amen with a healing. An amen with a miracle. That's God stamping. People getting saved. I told you the other week I found an old notebook. I thought it was an address book, and I began to read it. And in 2003 and 2005, I tell you, God done a lot of things. We might have forgot it, but I had it in that book. When I began to read through that book, I cried. When I seen the people God saved and the people God moved upon, I went to a church in a certain place and nobody got saved in years, and six got saved. I went to another church and nobody got saved, and 10 got saved. And I remember that God spoke to me and He gave me that message about the blood, and I believe God spoke to me in that year, and He said, "Everywhere you preach this, people will get saved." And every single place that I know that I preached it, people got saved. 350 conversions in one service in Africa. The average 50 conversions a night when I preached in Africa and Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe is shaping up for another revival. And I'm going to tell you that tonight. Do you know why? Because it's under persecution. And what happens is, with people, when everything starts to go smooth and everything starts to go normal and everything starts to go great, God's people forget about God. They get too comfortable. They get too familiar, and they forget about God, and they don't pray and sing and worship like they used to. But when trouble comes, it'll turn God's people back to God. And I'm not saying we need trouble. We've had lots of trouble. But I'm telling you, sometimes God lets it happen so that God's people will speak to them. You say you're preaching at us tonight, brother. I can't help it. I hope you can believe it's the Lord tonight. I know there's not many of us here. But you see, the thing is, when I wait on the Lord for a message and I wait upon God, I don't say, Lord, if there's 10 tonight, I'll let Father to come, or if there's 20 or 30, maybe that'll be better. I won't ever have that conversation with God. The Lord calls preachers to preach the word in season and out of season. And if you're faithful in the small things, you'll be faithful in the bigger things. And you must keep on preaching. And I don't know what it is, but I believe I'm the type of person, I just want to keep on keeping on at everything in life. And if something goes wrong, I'll look for the good of it. I don't like to think we're going to lie down and be defeated. We need to get up and go again. Amen? I know it's boxing, and I know maybe I shouldn't mention it, but didn't Tyson Fury shock them all? The 10th round, the American thought the fight was won. Fury had the fight won, and he knocked him down in the 10th round. But when the referee called number 9, Fury got up. Up on the floor he got. And if you've seen the photo of it, that big American was in shock that Fury got up. Boy, he was in shock, wasn't he? If you see his face, he was shocked. How did he get up? And I tell you, that's like you, brother or sister, tonight. The devil wants to hit you a blow that puts you down. But when you get back up, he was shocked. And you need to get back up for Jesus. And stay on your feet. And even if you have to cruise a couple of rounds till your head clears, do it. And then come back with a knockout. Amen. You know when Cooper fought Ali? I watched that fight a brave lot of times years ago. I have all the films of every boxing fight. Still have them somewhere. Clean man about boxing. But Cooper beat Ali. Did you know that? Cooper had him beat. Cooper beat him. Cooper caught him. And you know that Cooper put stuff in his pockets. And he still only weighed about 12 and a half, 13 stone. That's how light he was. Ollie was about 3 stone heavier than he was a bigger man. But Cooper caught him. And he stunned him. And Angelo Dundee said when Ollie came back to the corner, he was out on his feet. And he cut his glove. He cut the tape on his glove. And the count that's called the long count, when he counted properly, he was down for 11 seconds. They cheated the count. And then they cut his glove. And when Ali came out to fight, and they took him back to the corner because the tape and the glove was cut. They had to fix the glove. They got the glove taped, and Ali went on his back. Cooper was after him. And he ran for a wee bit. But you know, when he revived, he came out with a knockout. And he destroyed Cooper after that. And I tell you, the devil wants to put you down. But God wants to keep you up. Amen. Stay on your feet. Believe God. Mix the word with faith. When you read God's word, let it absorb into you. My father once said here, don't just read over it. Read it slowly. Read it prayerfully. Read it reverently. And believe it. And I'm going to close at 7:10. I'm not going to preach on. I'm going to close tonight. I can't believe it's 7:10, but it's 7:10. The word must be mixed with faith. You can't go on what the doctor says. The doctor's doing his best. We need to pray for the doctors and the nurses. And everybody's involved, and we thank God for all the medical there is. But when they've done all they can do, what do you do then? You need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? We need the Lord tonight to do something. Would you agree with me tonight? Let's stand on our feet and we're going to pray. If you have a need, every eye's closed. Lift your hand up to the Lord tonight. I tell you, God met needs for me this morning. I want to thank all that did what God led them this morning. God met needs for me this morning. And I was in need and praying and worrying and trusting God. And I know we're not to worry. But you don't understand what I'm saying. But God met the needs. God can do it. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, your word is truth. Lord, your word says, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll help the people to capture whatever you were trying to say tonight, Lord. If I've said anything amiss or out of place, forgive me, Lord Jesus. But, oh Lord, I pray that you'll stir our hearts again. Lord, I pray that you'll move us again. Lord, I pray you'll fill us again. Lord, I pray you'll cause the former rain and the latter rain to come upon your people in the first month. Lord, that you'll cause a healing revival to come into your true church again. Lord, that you'll cause the gifts of faith, working the miracles, come into your people. Lord, I pray that Satan, you'll stretch your mighty arm forth. Signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Father, I ask for every hand that's raised tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll meet every need. Father, for that brother, for that sister. Lord, I pray the anointing power of the Holy Ghost will go upon a brother Keith Anderson tonight. Lord, that from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, I'm asking that the power of God that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken his mortal body. That you'll go through him, Lord, and you'll heal him and deliver him and set him free from the curse of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I curse the cancer. I curse every disease. I ask that the blood become normal. Lord, that you'll take over, Lord. And you'll raise our brother up in Jesus' name. Father, for those heartbroken tonight, Lord, that's lost a son or a daughter, oh Lord Jesus, comfort them this time, I pray. Father, we think of our own children that's wild and bare in the fields tonight. Lord, will you save them? Lord, will you deliver them? Lord, will you speak to them? Lord, will you move upon them in a mighty way this evening and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I ask if there's any home discouraged tonight, downhearted in their heart. Lord, I pray you'll whisper to them by the sweet Holy Spirit. Pray you'll strengthen them. Pray you'll bless them. Pray you'll do them good, Lord Jesus. Let the loving arms of the shepherd be around them tonight in Jesus' precious name. Encourage each and every one in this meeting this evening. Help us, Lord, to press the battles in the gate. Lord, your prophet once prayed a prayer and he said, when it's all over and the Bibles are stacked and we sit at your great banqueting table in the great millennial reign, and you'll come down amongst us, Lord, and you'll wipe away every tear with your own hand. Lord, we'll forget about everything then when we're over on the other side. But Heavenly Father, I pray that while we're here, help us to press the battle to the gate.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to preach the truth. Help us to reach the lost. Help us to pray for the sick.
Yes,
help us, Lord, to see the dead raised. Help us, Lord, to see the power of God. Help us, Lord, to see the gifts of the Holy Ghost and people filled with the Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I know you're able to do it. Lord, you called the animals into the ark and they came two by two. And Father, you're able to do it tonight. Lord, I commit your people to you. Ask you'll bless them. Ask you'll strengthen them in Jesus' name. Pray, Lord, this evening as we worship, that you'll have your way amongst us tonight and you'll confirm your own word, the signs with wonders and miracles. In the name of thy holy child Jesus, I pray. Father of love, it's tarry for this week. Pray you'll lead our path so to go out. As we come in, we acknowledge you in all our ways. Pray you'll direct our paths. Lord, that you'll keep that brother, that sister, the apple of your eye. Lord, that you'll have your angels near to watch over us. Protect us from evil and danger. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Father, we're thankful tonight above all we're saved. And ready for home. Lord Jesus, we just commit it all to you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As our brother Gary comes tonight, God bless each one.
Every verse. Amen.